Good evening. It's good to have everybody out again. I know it's been cold. You know, I speak on behalf of the elders and Gary and all the deacons today in our deacons and elders meeting. We showed up today and we kind of left all the elderly and the women and who are carrying children here out to dry here in all the snow. So we were under the assumption that everybody else had another assumption. So that's been taken care of. So I think I speak for everyone in there. If you would like to, please, you can open up your Bibles, and there's going to be several verses that you may want to mark. Some of you may know these verses by heart, and that's okay. So as I read these off, there's going to be four specific different parts of verses that we're going to go through that I'm going to use as examples, and we'll get into that. The first one is going to be Romans 12. Verses 3 and 4, and then 6 through 8. So that's Romans 12, 3 and 4, and then 6 and 8. So it's the same part, so you won't have to mark off two different spots. James 1, verses 2 through 4. James 1, 2 through 4. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And we will close today with Matthew 4. Verse 19. Originally, this message that I had prepared tonight was supposed to happen several weeks ago. In fact, the week before Annie and the boys and I went to Wisconsin. I took December as an opportunity. One, it followed my season so that I was ensured that I was supposed to be able to do it and have the free time. The idea was then to get those 50 or 45 kids to come so that they could see a different side of maybe the soccer coach, maybe a different side of the academics. Very much used to standing up in front of an audience, being able to talk without a whole lot of notes. You're probably going to see me read far more tonight, just because some of the things I'm a little bit, I may or may not get a little bit emotional about. So I want to forewarn you about that. However, the message, like I said, that I had originally prepared, it was intended for a younger audience. It was intended for an audience that was very much still looking to discover who they were as adults, as contributing members of a society, like I refer to a lot of my soccer kids and my wife and I. It was designed for those, maybe within our own church pews here, that keep asking trivial questions, such as, why me? Such as, is this fair? It was designed to give this extended family, my soccer players, a closer look at a man that they saw every day. A man that you see infrequently on Wednesday nights, on Sunday at services. It was an opportunity to have a different, a newer, a far more productive advice than I intended to provide on a regular basis. Fortunately, I got the flu. I had spoke to Gary. I wasn't necessarily up to doing it. I didn't want to stand up here, kind of go through the motions and say, okay, my 10 minutes is up. I need to leave. So the youth that I wanted to be here, they're still coming back and returning from their Christmas breaks. So even though my message may change slightly from my original plans, the content, and maybe I should say the details have changed slightly, but the content is certainly not. Because I think what we all must understand is no matter how old we are, no matter what we're involved in, we sometimes get down. We sometimes lose our way. We sometimes become lost. And the truth be told, some of us get lost more frequently than others. Some of us get lost a lot deeper than others. And as part of being a Christian, as part of a church family such as this specific family, this for me has always been the holding, lasting, maybe fact or lasting image that I have before I make a decision of taking a job and relocating. Because this family I hold probably the most dearest that I have in all my possessions. Gary asked us this morning, what is the greatest need that man has? He followed that question with a statement, the workmanship of Christ needs to remain active. And as I chuckled this morning to myself, as Gary had mentioned two of those things right off the bat, I thought to myself, man, I better tell Gary I may have to pick another Sunday. He's going to really kind of steal my thunder. When in reality, the message tonight very much parallels those initial lead-ins to Gary's message this morning. We have all been lost at one point in time in our lives. But who is lost? Who struggles right now? Who this very evening doubts himself or herself the promises that God ensures us? You don't have to raise your hand, because I'll make it really easy for you. I do. I am, and I do. In fact, I have been struggling since September of 2015. I'm in a profession that is results-based. Simply put, the more wins, the better off you are. The safer you are. However, my profession is compounded by the decision-making process of teenagers. Inexperienced teenagers. People learning both the consequences and the free spirit becoming independent that is provided by college. These teenagers that I have brought to campus, to the city, brought within our own homes, our communities. Some of you have sat next to them in church. Some of you have sat next to them in your own house, in our house. There's a great responsibility upon that. Far consuming than one realizes. No matter what our impression are to these kids in the recruiting process, never mind the endless recommendations and letters from students, from parents, from teachers, from their counselors. The team rules. Every year there are surprises. And the pressure collapses on shoulders and our backs, and at times their decisions and their actions become a reflection of their leader, even if it is undeserving and it is false. As Christians, I think you can relate to that. Because if you are associated with some individual, some family, and that individual acts inappropriately, you get suffered. You get challenged away. Everybody inside the church may think that we're not conservative enough. But then those looking on the outside and looking in think maybe we're a little bit too conservative. It's twofold when you think about the association of the people that you are with. The surprises over the last years have in actuality been pages of a book. They have produced many of moments of looking up to the sky, searching for answers. Tears behind closed doors. Anger. And for the first time, uncertainty. My ability as not only a Christian, but as a coach, as a husband, as a father. There's a never-ending comparison in my profession. Within the department, the college, the community, the conference, the country, the divisions, the factions, etc. The list can go on and on. I fell to an evil and that I did not think could happen. I compared myself to coaches throughout our conference. I let the worldly things affect my decision-making. I focused too much on the results. I compared myself to those elite coaches that have it all. I was too concerned on worldly things. As Christians, when we make a promise and we're baptized, we make that promise to Christ. We make that promise to everyone that sits within our church family, the visitors that we have that come within our doors, that sit down at our pews on a weekly basis. multiple nights throughout the week. We make a promise then that we are going to hold ourselves to particular standards. Standards that we devote ourselves to a process, not results. The results are not promised. They are promised if we follow the process. If we get our lives through a process. My very own program, coaching mission statement, make an impact every day. I vacated it. So like many of us, and this goes back to maybe last December when I lost both grandparents. This goes back to a few moments of lost loved ones that we have all suffered throughout this year. Because like many of, not just me, not just Annie, not just my immediate family, but all of us tonight in this congregation, we have suffered trials. We have suffered tribulation. And just like anybody that in times of trials, I turned to the Bible. I relied on God. I relied on the very roots that really defined me as a man, on who I am. And I think that you can find familiarity with that because I think you can go all the way back to when you were baptized. In your times of need. Those moments that you go back and dive back into the Bible. The moments that you spend on your knees in prayer. Those are defining moments. Those are as true to you as anything possible. So going back on my mission statement, I had to find an impact. What better person to turn to than God? And I found comfort in a few verses. Given what our church family has been through the last calendar year, understand that you are not alone. Not this past year, not yesterday, not today, tomorrow, and the year coming. So many times, there's an easy way out. Once you're lost, you can always be lost. The thing is, you always want out of the things that you can't control. One thing that you can control is what you do. The one thing that you can control is your faith. And the one thing that I took comfort in is, I wasn't the only one that wanted out. Book of Luke, chapter 22:42, Christ made it very appropriate. And he hit home and made himself as human as he would ever be. And he asked for out. He asked for that covenant to be removed. He asked for himself to be removed from the situation. It's as human, in my opinion, as he has ever gotten. Christ asking God for a second chance. A way out. But what I really took comfort in was he kept going. He saw things through. It was with prayer that I survived the last two seasons. It's prayer that I now walk with confidence, been rejuvenated. Our first verse, Romans 12, in the second half of 3, says, "Think with sober judgment, each according to the message of faith, that God has assigned." Paul continues, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have the same function." Not everyone is meant to have the same set of circumstances. Not everyone is meant to have identical resources. And as I did not bring up my Bible, you continue on with verse 6. "Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does act of mercy with cheerfulness. It was then that I understood, that I was doing exactly what I was meant to do. I just needed to tweak my actions. I needed a reboot, as some of us need, as a lot of us use January and the New Year's resolutions to do. I want to stop smoking. I saw you using tobacco. I want to lose weight. I want to become healthier. I want to work out. I want to watch less TV. I want to commit myself and read the book more. I want to be a better father. We all have different circumstances. We all have different gifts. We all have different ways to reboot. I was too caught up in the winds, like some of us are. I've forgotten about the promises that we make as we go on through our life. I was too focused on results and then left behind the process. God doesn't do that. God promises us in the end, if we are to effectively use the process, His process. A process that He outlines. A process that He makes accessible to us, every single one of us, every single day in His book. So, I was designed specifically for the circumstances that I have dealt with over the last years. We all have. Different circumstances, different resources, different ways. Now my question became, why? Why is it? Why is it that we are dealt the hand that we are dealt? Why is it sometimes I sit in a pew and I wonder, man, my prayer list keeps growing. It keeps growing for those that keep getting sick. And the list just keeps growing. Why? I needed answers, like all of us want answers. My wife had the answer to it. On a bus trip to play, she sent me a text that quoted James 1, 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know what the testing of your faith produces: steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Our trials are truly designed to make us stronger. It isn't just a gimmick or a cheesy line. Our trials are designed to make us stronger, better people. And in most cases, they are designed to help our weaker member of our church family. But in all cases, our trials are designed to draw us closer to God. As I so smiled in Kirk's class today, the different things that we encounter on a regular basis, they seem foolish. But it is the way of the world. And then Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. Your faith can really grow with the right influence. These passages not only have the ability to open your eyes, but to provide you with the necessary understanding. Not all understanding, that's for God. All understanding is for God. But necessary understanding. Understanding so that we may see and set aside our own goals and pleasures to embrace the purposes for which God has created. We are only given necessary understanding so that we may be hungry. Hungry to search. Hungry to persevere. That's where we are made to find joy. We are made to find joy in the things that God has put us on earth to do. I don't have the ability to drive out and to erect these giant windmills. Larry can do that. I know nothing about asphalt. Jordan does. I know nothing about cows and 4-H. There are things that I'm really not sure I want to know about. But that is for everyone else that is designed to be placed here on earth to do by God. That's for them to figure out. That's for them to be the shining example. That's for them to be the light of the world. Instead of being a coach, instead of being a teacher and saying, if I don't win every game, it's not good enough. If I'm in a classroom and not everybody has A's or everybody has D's, that's not my goal, that's not my end game. I'm sure Jordan doesn't go home, although the finances would be really nice, but to say I need to lay at least 100 driveways. It's the process. It's not the results. It's not the conference championships. It's not a class full of A's. Whatever our disciplines are, it's about the process. It's about getting there. Your faith, your Christianity, it works the same way. Yeah, the end game is to get into heaven, is to find eternity. Absolutely, without question, that is the end game. But if you forget about the process, that end game does not belong to you, as we are so often reminded in the book. The births, the deaths, the marriages, friendships, the baptisms, our tribulations, our struggles. It's all about the journey, the lessons, the preparation, the process. Our objective is to use Christ to persevere daily. Not once in a while, not in good times, not just in bad times, but all the time, daily. So my last question then is, how do I relate this to everybody? Not everyone's a coach. Not everyone's a teacher. How? How does this relate to you? As a Christian, you have the responsibility to stay true to the process. Part of that process, we are reminded that we must study. We must stay steadfast. We must learn. We must teach. In the gifts that are given to us by God Himself, for the reasons that we are placed here on earth, we must use those gifts to spread His word, to persevere. So again, my last question is how? Matthew 4:19 states, Jesus said to them, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Are you ready to cast out your net? Because I have learned that when you put that net in the boat and you keep it there, you're not giving yourself a fighting chance. You will lose your way. God is preparing the hearts and minds of the world to hear His message of love. And as I found out that there is an ocean right in front of our own eyes, right across the street, in our own backyards where we work, the places that we work, in our own church pews. And all too often, not everyone has a wet net. Instead of fishers, we have become a passenger on a boat, drifting aimlessly. But right across the street, right in our own pews, there are people in desperate need. People who need the redemptive power of God, who need the reminder of just how great and just how powerful that He is. There are people who need that necessary understanding that there is a reason, there is a cause for the circumstances that they have, circumstances that they're going through, and the resources that are available to them. They need that necessary understanding to provide a spark of faith. But a lot of us sit in the boat and we lay our nets down. We've been passengers. I've been a passenger. I've been guilty of that. I'm not afraid to admit that. But unless we actually put out our nets in the water, we'll never catch anything. We will never actually be fishers of men. We will never serve our purpose that God has intended for us. There's one thing that you take away from this tonight. It's to understand that I know a lot of us, and I know that not everybody knows every single detail of every single person's life and struggles and tribulations and trials. But there is a specific plan. I can promise you that. And as long as you stay focused on the process of that plan, you can never be led astray. And you will never be a failure in the eyes of Christ. In fact, your love, your faith, your perception of man will improve. So remember that as you continue your year. Remember that as you go about your own business at work, as you visit with friends and family and fraternize. And the message of Christ is an opportunity for you. Remember, you were put here for a purpose, for a reason. Don't lose sight of the material world. Sorry, I misspoke there. Don't always have your eyes set on the material things, the wins, the losses, the grades. It's about the process. It's about the development. It's about identifying who you are and exactly which road you're going to make the decision to go down. Think about that. Are you going to sit in the boat, or are you going to cast the net out in the water? Become a fisher of men.